to read the last of the lyrics of our communion song, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. For it was there to my heart, your blood applied. Glory to your name. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in praise and thanksgiving. We lift your name up on high, O Lord. Minister to our hearts. Reveal unto us your will. Lord, we pray for the victims of Hurricane Helene. Lord, we cast out the evil in our government that is hindering the aid and rescue of our brothers and sisters here in America. And Lord, we pray that in this time where so many feel that there is no more hope, that you send your Holy Spirit to comfort them and to guide them. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Someone once said, you don't know how much you need God until God is all that you have. This is an anonymous quote. I'm not sure its origin. They're not the words that I have penned, and I wish that I could ascribe authorship to it, but I must admit I do not know. But there are few, if any, truer words than that. You don't know how much you need God until God is all that you have.
Amen.
An analogy I've used before is the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives is like the air that we breathe. When you're not overexerted, when you're resting, you don't even recognize that you're breathing. But if you find yourself after some physical exertion, or even worse, in a situation where air itself is absent, you become instantly aware of your desperate and dire need for that air. So too is it with the Spirit of God. Biblically, love and mercy and grace, charity, these are verbs. These are actions. Right now, our brothers and sisters in North Carolina, in South Carolina, in the great state of Tennessee, down in Georgia, my second home, people are suffering. People are lost. And I mean, physically, we don't know where they're at. Entire towns have been washed away. And worse, our federal government is seizing supplies, sending them to Ukraine. And they are stopping, or attempting to stop, rescue efforts. Now that's come to an end in the great state of North Carolina, where the North Carolina State Troopers put out quite publicly for all to see that they would arrest any federal employee that hinders aid and rescue efforts in their state. Now, I don't want to get deep into the politics, but just to say that it isn't all what we're being told. It can be frustrating to see that these people have lost literally everything, and the mainstream media is very nearly silent on it. It is our Christian duty to do something. If you can go there, go and help. If you can't, donate money or supplies. And if you don't have any of that, if that is impossible for you to do, know that the greatest thing you can do and the greatest act of love is to fall upon your knees and pray to God.
Amen.
Pray. Listen, we hear from the world, we don't need your thoughts and prayers. Your thoughts and prayers do nothing, they would say. But listen, when we pray, we are appealing to our sovereign God, the creator of all things. Lord, come and intervene on our behalf. Nothing is impossible with our God. He is sovereign over all things. Now listen, I've said that God's judgment is upon us. And I have said that God will be there for his faithful. There is a time in so many people's lives where they feel that all hope is lost. In an interview I saw with Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, he tells the story of a man who had worked his whole life and built a life for himself there in North Carolina. A storm previously had washed it all away. And then this Hurricane Helene comes and he loses it all again. And this man chose to end it all. He chose what is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. The media lies to us about how many casualties there are. They say, as of this morning, 230, while hundreds are reported missing. One woman, her account states that they marked 100 deceased individuals in a 6-mile stretch of a river. That's just in 6 miles. Oh, there's not a couple hundred deceased. I think it's more than hundreds. In fact, I would suspect that when it all said and done, and if all the counting is honest, and our states are honest, our governors are honest, our federal government is honest, we will find that casualty list to be in the thousands. Thousands. And it's going to take decades to repair this. Entire towns are gone, whole roads are gone. Railroad lines are gone. And right now, there are thousands upon thousands of people in those states, there in southern Appalachia, that feel right now that all hope is lost. So let us pray for them. Let us give to them a message of hope, and let us do all that we can within the confines of the blessings of God has bestowed upon us to physically help, to financially help, to material help, and most definitely to fall upon our knees and pray for these folks.
Amen.
Above all, to pray because they have lost all, literally everything, their home, their possessions, their job. They have nothing. Many of these people are stranded there in the mountains of southern Appalachia, and the only way to get to them is by helicopter. There ain't even any roads left to get to them. Again, it is our Christian duty to help. And it is our Christian duty to pray. Today's scripture in the book of Lamentations, while a specific author is not named, it has been believed through tradition that the book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah. Judah, Israel and Judah have been conquered, the people taken into captivity. It is said of the author in previous translations, what we find in the Septuagint, the old ancient Greek Septuagint, it says, "And it came to pass after Israel had been carried captive and Jerusalem became desolate, that Jeremiah sat weeping and lamented his lamentation over Jerusalem." Lamentations. Chapter 3 is the midpoint. In chapter 1 and in chapter 2, we see the affliction of Jerusalem. We see God's anger with Jerusalem, as this affliction was God's judgment. Chapter 3 gives us the prophet's anguish and his hope. And we pick up then in verse 19. "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gale. My soul still remembers and sinks within me." Jeremiah here, in an attempt to cope with his grief for this immense loss, his nation is gone, his people are gone, desolate. Previously in verse 17, it says, "You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity." Verse 18 says, "And I said, my strength and my hope have perished with the Lord." That is what precedes the verse 19 and 20. It is there in verse 19, he's attempting to bring to remembrance the blessings of the Lord as a means to cope. Verse 21 continues this with, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." He recalls to his mind the blessings of God. You see, whatever problems are in your life now, as our nation right before our eyes seems to be falling apart, and our government not only is apathetic, they seem to hate us, that they would condemn American citizens who are in dire need of help to death. That's evil. As we see this, even that is transitory. Even that is temporary. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how much your life falls apart, you can lose it all, as our brothers and sisters in North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina, and Georgia are now experiencing. Know this. This world is just a speed bump to glory.
Amen.
Amen. But I tell you this, God is our deliverer. Amen.
Amen.
God is our deliverer. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That is where Jeremiah is here in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. As this is the midpoint of Lamentations, this is not just a midpoint, but a turning point from deep sorrow and anguish into hope. You have a hope in God, amen?
That's right, amen.
You have a hope.
He's our only hope.
You see, Lamentations has some crossover similarities thematically with the book of Job, but the difference is the book of Job is addressed to an individual, but Lamentations is to a nation. I don't know if you've been paying attention. I know that you have. Those here today, those watching online, please stay all the way to the end. Our nation is suffering. It is time to lament our nation, our community, our neighbors, our family. So many people are hurting today, and I tell you, it's only going to get worse. It ain't getting better. Not yet. But when it does, know it will be all to the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Our God is sovereign. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Your God will never fail you. Amen.
Amen.
Your God loves you. Amen.
Amen.
His God, our God, your God, God has mercies in store for you. Even the entire total destruction of our lives, it's temporary. Eternity with our Savior is forever. Amen?
Amen.
And it is time that we give this message of hope. We say to our brothers and sisters, when all hope is lost, his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Our God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful to fulfill all of his promises to us. He is faithful to deliver us and to be with us always. Verse 24 is a beautiful verse, and I'm going to spend some time here. It says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Verse 24 is hearkening back to Numbers 18:20. Aaron and the Levites were not given a portion of land, but they were told, the Lord will be your portion. The Lord is my portion, he says. His portion of his inheritance. The portion that he receives. That God is enough. God is enough. You say, well, Pastor Chris, I know God loves me. And I know that he's with me. But I'm hungry. Pastor, I know you tell me that God is with me, but I'm cold, or I'm hot, or I don't have shelter over my head. That very well may be true. There is nothing greater, no blessing greater than the very mercies of God. But the good thing of this is you are not alone in it. More on that here in a bit. So there he's saying, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. He will sustain me. The Lord is faithful, and that is why we can have our hope in Him. We can place all of our hope, all of our trust in Him. We can rely on that. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Wow. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. So often in our suffering, we try to fix things on our own, to rely on our own strength or our own understanding or upon that of others. That in our pain and in our sorrow, instead, we fail to wait on God, to wait for Him. In the waiting is prayer. Amen?
Amen.
In the waiting is fasting. Amen?
Amen.
In the waiting is trusting on Him. In the waiting is love. If you want love, you give love. If you want mercy, you give mercy. You want grace, you give grace. Every one of us here, and I'm sure everyone watching online, you have known a professed believer that they've got all grace for themselves, but they'll give the law for you. Oh, you have to forgive me because I'm a Christian and you're a Christian. But it's gossip, gossip, gossip. They're not waiting on God. They're not relying on God, and they are a cancer. I'm going to read verse 26 again. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hope and wait. When all hope is lost, we have hope in our Lord and Savior. We have hope. Right now, so many of us are hurting. Right now, so many of us are in pain. Right now, so many of us are struggling. And it's not just our brothers and sisters down south. It's right here in our community, right here in our families. There are those who, like that man I spoke of previously, that Franklin Graham had spoken of, a man who had lost it all in one storm, lost it again, and he took that permanent solution to a temporary problem. There are people right now in our community, people right now in our families. Maybe it is you right in this moment. All your hope is lost. You feel this. That you have no options left. Give it to God. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. To wait and hope. Because you are not alone. You're not alone, amen? You're not alone. In Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, we read, "For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." The judgment of God is upon us, but know that his judgment is short. For his deliverance will soon follow. Those who hope and wait on God, whether in their private life, their private sufferings, or national sufferings. I really need to stop throwing my hands around, don't I? Even in our public sufferings, our national sufferings, just trust in God. Trust in him. Trust in him. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. You may have lost it all now. Just like with Job's, God's going to give it all back to you. If you lost that baby, God's going to give you two. You lost your job, God's going to give you a better one. You lost your house, you're going to have a bigger one. Listen, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm saying the enemy is going to take from you. God's going to restore you. God's judgment falls upon the nations, and then he delivers them when they repent.
Amen.
For God is a merciful God. Amen?
Amen.
God is merciful. In Psalm 36, verse 5, we read, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast." Right now, you find yourself with a struggle, likely unlike anything you've experienced before. Maybe you've experienced something like what you're going through now, but maybe not as in the same way. You know, I recently saw this meme, Christian meme, and it had a picture of a husband and wife, kind of a drawing, with some kids, and says, "My parents in their 30s buying their second house," and then below is a picture of supposed to be one of those kids grown up and his hair's all frizzy and super stressed out, and it says, me realizing which chapter of Revelations is unfolding now. Biblical prophecy is unfolding today, amen?
Amen.
We see it now. We are to trust in him through it. Pay attention. Listen to me. Because this is the part of this sermon I want to get to. This is what I want to have engraved upon your heart. Yes, yes, yes. It is our Christian duty to help others. It is our Christian duty to pray. Yes. But it is this. You're never alone.
Amen.
When you find yourself in the fire, you stand not alone. When you're in that deep pit, surrounded by the lions of this world who seek to devour and destroy you, you stand not alone.
Amen.
When you're surrounded by those flood waters that threaten to wash you away, figuratively, and literally, Listen to me. God is there with his hands, his mighty hands, to part the waters and carry you through.
Amen.
You're not alone when you walk with God. When you walk with God, God walks with you, and you are never alone. There is no hardship so great that you cannot endure it, for God is in you.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
There is no power that can stand before the might of our sovereign God. We can take great joy and exhilaration that God, the creator, the sovereign creator of the universe, that he who brought creation into existence with his very words, set the galaxies in their motions. He formed our sun and our solar system, our planets. He separated the waters and raised the dry land. He formed covenants with Abraham, with Noah, with Moses, with David. And on the cross, he formed a covenant with you and I. That God knows you by name. That God was there when you were in your mother's womb. That God has every hair on your head numbered. That God, our God, the sovereign God, is working everything for your good.
Amen.
You say, Pastor Chris, I can't take it anymore. But I know who can. Listen to me. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. I will keep you in my prayers. Keep me in yours. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. When you feel that you have no hope, when you're in the fire, God is with you. When you're in that pit with them lions, God stands with you. When you're surrounded by the floodwaters of life, God's gonna part that sea. Listen, God is with you. No weapon formed against you can stand. For God, your God and mine, is on your side. And he will be your deliverer. Say, all hope is lost. No, no. For us believers, never at a time in our lives on this earth should we say that all hope is lost. For we forever have our hope in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We forever have our hope in Christ. Furthermore, so much in life we see that God works through individuals. Love is, when I say love is an action, compassion is an action, empathy is an action, charity is an action. It's not a fuzzy feeling and platitudes. You speak to your neighbor, it's what you do. It's not what you say, it's what you do. It's time to help one another. You say you love your neighbor, show it. Show it. That's what it means to live your life as a mirror reflecting the light and the love of Christ. That means you need to live your life in the very example of Christ. To be loving and merciful and graceful and forgiving. And yes, compassionate and charitable. To be there for our brothers and sisters when they are in pain, when they are hurting, and when they have been made destitute. Whether by nature or government. God worked through Moses to deliver the Israelites from the bondage of captivity in Egypt. God worked through Esther. Oh, now, worked through Esther, a poor orphan girl who ended up marrying King Xerxes. And God worked through her to save all her people from total annihilation. Read the book of Esther and see. God worked through the prophets time and time again. And God worked through his son, Jesus Christ, to save the whole world. He who was without sin became sin, bore it on the cross to be your propitiation and mine. That is the appeasement of the wrath of God, a wrath that you and I deserve. You see, God made a way to save us from the penalty of our sin and reconcile us to God. And I'm telling you now that God is going to make a way for you to be delivered from the suffering you endure today. Trust in him. Rely on him. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, I'm going to close with these words. And I want you to meditate upon them. These words apply both to the salvation through Christ, but also our deliverance. All the burdens of life that we carry that weigh us down. Matthew 11, verse 28, we read in the words of our Lord and Savior, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God bless each and every one of you. Trust in him. You feel in your heart that you have lost all hope. I tell you, you have not. For you still have a hope in God, a hope in Christ. God is your Savior, your healer, and your deliverer. God's going to work through us in our lives. He's going to do a mighty work in us and then do a mighty work through us. God is sovereign and with us always. In the fiery forge of life, God is with you. In that lion's den, God is with you. In the flood waters of the world, God is with you. Just as he is with you now, through it all. When all hope is lost, lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters who are suffering so immensely so down south in the Carolinas and in Tennessee and in Georgia. And we pray that you deliver them. You guide the hands of the rescuers to pull them out of the waters, to rescue them from those mountaintops where they are trapped. And Lord, we pray that you free those demonic hands that are holding back the provisions that they need. We bind those demonic powers and cast them into hell in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you then release all of that aid that is so desperately needed into those who are in need of it now. Lord, we pray for all those suffering in our community and in our families and in our lives. And Lord, we pray that through it all, you send your Holy Spirit, the great comforter, to comfort each and every one of us in this church, in our families, our community, in our entire nation, and right now as it is needed most in the Carolinas, East Tennessee, and in Georgia. Our brothers and sisters in Southern Appalachia, Lord, we pray that you be with them now and always. We lift your name up on high. We trust and rely on you, O God. You alone are holy and righteous. You alone are worthy, for you alone are God. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.